this evening. Let's go before the Lord again with prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just lift up before you, Lord, this message that you will nourish it, and that you will go forth with your spirit to minister to the hearts of those who shall receive salvation. And we just thank you and praise you, Lord God, that in these last days, Lord, that you're still reaching out through the Lord, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Seek and save those who are Lord's, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God. There's many talk years for many years about hell. People through the ages been talking about the place called hell. Where is it? Who goes to hell? Why would God make a place called hell? How can you get there? How long will you stay there? And mankind for many years been asking themselves this question. And there are a lot of people, because of unbelief, they say, well, it sounds so bad till I don't believe that there is a place called hell. But we have the Bible, which is God's book, and in the Bible we can see that such a place exists. In the book of Isaiah 14:9, the Bible tells us where hell is. The Bible tells us that hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. So we get an idea that hell is beneath the earth. Now people for decades, for hundreds of years, been digging down in the earth for oil, for coal, and they have never reached this place in the natural. So they figure, well, the Bible is wrong. They go miles and miles down in the earth, but they can't see hell. In the book of Ephesians 4:9, we also read about the lower parts of the earth is where hell is. And 2 Corinthians 4:18, the Bible tells us the things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen are eternal. So therefore, hell is a spiritual place. You can never see hell with your natural eye. We have a spiritual realm around this earth, the heavenlies. We can't see that spiritual realm. The spirit of the devil and also the spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ operate in that spiritual realm. Your thought pattern and your dreams and your imagination is also in that particular realm. We can't see it with our natural eye, but it exists. The Bible also gives us a description about hell. Who will go to hell? Do you know who will go to hell? The Bible tells us who will go to hell. The wicked. Those people who have lived outside of the will of God will go to hell. And it's a place of torment. In the book of Revelation 21:8, we read that the cowardly, the unbeliever, the abominable, the murderers, the sexual immorals, the sorcerers, and all idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire. Now these are the type of people who have went out and based their life on sin. Man has enough sense to make prisons for criminals. Don't you think God has enough sense to make hell for evildoers? Amen. People say that, well, I believe that everybody is a child of God, and I believe that everybody will go to heaven. But when the Bible never tells you that. You can't find that in the Bible. But people use these statements to deceive themselves to stay in sin. A lot of people want to go out and use excuses to stay in their sins. Excuses is just a reason to not get right with God. And if you keep on using excuses, you will end up in this place called hell. The Bible also tells us about hell in the book of Matthew 25:41. God made it for Satan and his demons. Now God in the beginning did not create this place for mankind. But if mankind goes out there and live for the devil, mankind would also be punished with the devil, because God is a righteous God. You see, God himself has given us a free will. We can accept Christ or we can reject Christ. What we do on this earth will determine where we will spend eternity. And hell would be a real place for those who die in their sins. You can read about it today in the Bible, or you can experience it after you die. The choice is up to you. And he also asked a question about, how do you get there? You know, if you want to get from Manhattan to Brooklyn, you can take a subway, you can ride a bicycle, you can walk, you can take a taxi. But people say, now wait a minute, this place you talk about hell, how would you get to hell? Very simple. Die in your sins. That's how you get to hell. Those people in the days of Noah, they're not asking that question about how you get to hell. You know why? Because that's where they are. You see, when God made us in His image. We're all spiritual beings. Now, we just see the natural body, the flesh. And you see, the devil wants you to look at this body as if this body is more important than the inner man. But Jesus Christ did not come down here and down the cross just to save the flesh. As you can see, we're all getting old. I don't look like I did when I was 20 years old. And every day that I live, I'm getting older and older. So Jesus Christ came down here to redeem a much greater purpose, your soul, your spirit and soul. That's the most important thing that each and every one of us have, our soul. And if you allow the devil to deceive you out of this soul, you have no one to blame but yourself. And in the book of 2 Peter, we also read that God also has hell to was reserved for the angels who sinned against him. They were placed there until the day of judgment. You see, if you died right now, you will go to hell, and you'll be there until the day of judgment, and on the day of judgment, you'll be let out to be judged and thrown into the lake of fire. Now, the Seventh-day Adventists, they believe that if you go to hell, you just burn up. If you just burn up in hell, it wouldn't be so bad. But your thoughts, your will, and your emotion will never burn up. Your feelings will never burn up. That will be forever. And God wants to spare each and every one of us that torment. That's why he sent Jesus Christ. See, a lot of people want to use Jesus Christ to promote their religion. But that's not why he came to this earth. You ever notice when people get involved with Hinduism, Buddhism? Well, they say, well, Jesus Christ was a Hindu. Bible never said that. Some people say, well, Jesus Christ believed in Islam. The Bible never said that. You see, a lot of people is misusing the name of Jesus Christ to deceive people and their religion. But Jesus Christ came with salvation. And when you see the whole picture of God's plan, you can see why Jesus Christ died on that cross. You see, God's plan is threefold: law, grace, and judgment. The book of John 1:17 tells us that the law was given to Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. And in the book of Acts 17:30, the Bible tells us that God has ordained Jesus Christ to judge this world in righteousness. And we're close to that great day of judgment. When you read your paper, they talk about peace in the Middle East. And one of the signs of the day of judgment will be talked about peace and safety. And they're talking about that now. But man don't realize he cannot never have peace until Jesus Christ becomes his Lord. You don't just sign a piece of paper to get peace. You have to have it in your heart. It's something that's given by God. Jesus said, I will keep you in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. People today, they want to think about, you know, winning the lotto. They got about $70 million out there. They're not thinking about Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, what does it profit a man to gain this world goods and lose his own soul? There have been many people who lose their soul trying to hit the lotto. And it would not make you happy. You read about people who won the lotto. Seem like they got in more trouble after they won. They went down and got in gambling debts. And people that they never knew started asking them for money. And they can't even rest at night. But you see, hell is the place where God made. Now, we make prisons and jails, but God made hell. And God made it for the devil. But if we are not willing to submit our lives over to Christ, we too will be victimized by the planet which God himself intended to save. And God does not want that to happen. The Bible tells us in the book of Ezekiel 33:11 that God has no pleasure out of the death of the wicked. But he will that the wicked should turn from their wicked ways and serve him. You see, people say if God was such a great God and such a mighty God, then why would God allow man to live like this? But see, God does things out of love. And God himself created us in his image. So God expects us to do things out of love which we have for him. And God himself has given us his word that we can use our faith, use our will to obey his word through love. And if you accept Jesus Christ, you're doing what God expects each and every one of us to do. But God will not force Jesus Christ on anyone. People say, well, Jesus Christ has to save me, has to do it against my will. He won't. Amen. The devil will force you to be an alcoholic against your will. The devil may force you to become a prostitute against your will. But Jesus Christ will never save you against your will. as something that God himself will respect. Even though it means you may go out there and be a mass murderer, you may go out there and rape and molest children, but he still allow you to use your will. But the thing about it all, you will have to deal with God, the Lord Jesus Christ, on the day of judgment based on what you have done in your body.
Amen.
And see, that's the bottom line.
Amen.
Then you have to think about this place called hell. See, a lot of people say, well, to me it sounds like a myth. One man said, he was a Seventh-day Adventist, he said, if there is a God that made hell, then I don't want to serve that God. That's what he said. You see, dear friend, God himself has love. God is also a God of order. See, God gave law to man, and through the law we can have order. That's why when you drive your car, you have traffic lights. Traffic lights give order in traffic. Because God himself wants mankind to live in peace. So God gave the government. Now those who are not willing to live in peace, they will also see the wrath of God. See, no one likes to talk about God's wrath. They love to talk about God's love. You ever notice that? You can go to many churches, they talk about the love of God. But when you read the Bible tells you more than just the love of God. It tells you the judgment of God too.
Amen.
It's funny how people want to talk about one part of God, but they're not willing to talk about the other side of God. See, I want to know the truth, the whole truth. So that way you can make a quality decision about what to do with Jesus Christ. See, if you just serve just a loving God who would never punish anybody, so you say, why should I get right with God? Why should I repent? I could keep on being a cigarette smoker and I go to heaven. I can be a homosexual. I can go to heaven. He's a loving God. But now on the other hand, you see that God hates sin. And if you're going to stand before an angry God, you got second thoughts now. Now what must I do to get right with this angry God? And the Bible tells us what we must do. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Now, the world says when you believe in Christ, it means you believe that Christ was the Son of God, and that's it. Or believe that he died for your sins. That's not what the Bible meant. When the Bible says believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, it means to give your whole spirit, body, and soul to Jesus Christ. Trust in Jesus Christ. See, a child trusts his parents. You can have a little child, and sometimes it could jump off a table. They don't think twice. They know he's going to catch them. And that's how God wants to trust in him, to a degree that we're willing to just live our lives every day obeying his commandments. Because that's the only way that you will escape the horrors of hell. In the book of Luke 16:22, the rich man died and went to hell. Now when that rich man was living on the face of this earth, I'm pretty sure he was just like rich people are today. He was not concerned about the word of God. He was concerned about how much more money can he make. He was concerned about material things on this earth. And most people are today. They're not concerned about God's word. It's funny, people get concerned about God's word when they get ready to go to a hospital to get operated on. Or when somebody in their family got hit by a drunken driver. Or when somebody got raped or when somebody got shot. When something tragic happened, that's when they start thinking about God's word. But you say, well, pray for my father, pray for my mother. They got to go to the hospital for an operation. But all the time that they were out there living in sin, they never asked you to pray for their father, mother. And matter of fact, you couldn't even talk to them about God. See, anytime you put Jesus Christ in the backseat of your life, guess who's sitting in the front? Satan. Why wait till the devil beats you up before you come to your senses? Why wait till you lose an arm, an eye, a leg before you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior? Why wait till you've been in prison for 20 or 30 years before you wake up and accept Christ? People love to wait. See, that's another way that the devil would deceive and destroy many people. Procrastination. Ace, when you're young, don't worry about it. You got your whole life ahead of you. But what are you doing with your life right now? Are you putting things in your mind as eternal, or are you putting things in your mind as trash? There's a lot of trash out in the world. You turn your radio on, it's nothing but trash. Television, nothing but trash. And you are what you eat. The Bible tells us in the book of Philippians 2 and 5, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ. See, Christ did not have his mind plugged into the things of this world. And there are some things in the world, they're not sinful. Just how they're used. See, God made everything to be used to glorify his holy name. See, the devil wanted man to use things to go against the commandments of God. There's nothing wrong with having money. Nothing wrong with having gold or silver. If that was a sin, having material things, then God would have never made Abraham rich or King Solomon rich. But you see, it's the attitude, the condition of your heart, how you place these things in your life. In the book of Mark, the 10th chapter, when Jesus Christ saw this rich young ruler. Now here is a man doing all he could to obey the law. But there was one thing he lacked. His heart was set on his riches. Is your heart set on things that is destroying your soul? See, when you're not receiving the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ, your soul is not being blessed. That's why people walk around with a long face. They don't want to be bothered because they're isolated and sad. They're cut off from God. They think because they have a lot of material things that somehow they should be happy, but they're not. And that lets you know right there you're more than flesh. You are spirit. And the only spirit that can bless your soul is the Lord Jesus Christ. So don't let hell make a believe out of you. Don't go through life asking yourself all these questions about hell. Where is it? Who would go to hell? Why did God make it? Just take God at his word and accept Christ. Because through Christ, God himself can bless your heart. He can make you the person he wants you to be. So you can see man has no idea what he's doing. Look at the laws we're making today. They're making a law to protect rats. Think about it. A rat. See, a rat would just grow up to be nothing but a rat. That's all. A rat would never grow up to be a doctor, a lawyer, or an engineer. But yet they tell you it's okay to kill your baby, but don't touch the rats. But you see, God is letting man see when mankind goes against his holy word, the things that mankind will do. It's endless. Because he is controlled by Satan. Now today, right now, I ask you this question. Do you want to go to heaven or do you want to go to hell? A lot of people say, well, I don't want to go to hell. But you know what? They're not making preparation to go to heaven. They say, well, I'm bad, but I'm not that bad. Oh, yes. I said the same thing many times. See, there's no such thing as half good. See, just like Miss Mew said last week, you can run for the bus. You can almost catch the bus, but you still miss the bus. That's right. You can have five numbers and say, well, I almost hit the lotto. But you still didn't hit the lotto. You can say, well, I almost passed this test, but you still flunked. You see? Almost is not good enough. God himself has given us a sure way. You can't miss. Outside of Christ, you're nothing but a loser.
Amen.
You're a big loser. See, right now, you can choose which side you want to be on. The Bible says, choose this day who you will serve. And what you do with Jesus Christ will determine your eternal destination. Oh, yes. People say, well, your religion is old-fashioned. Nobody believes it anymore. It's for people who just want to go out there and just brainwash themselves. We all are brainwashed.
Amen.
That's right. Either brainwashed by that which is righteous or unrighteous. That's right. That means your brain is out there functioning the things of which you have heard and seen, which is good or evil. Now our brain has been washed by the blood of Jesus Christ, by the word of God. Now you can go out there and listen to these programs. You can get brainwashed in believing that you can just go out there and be a beer drinker and you can just have fun. But that fun will end one day. And when that fun ends, you're going to stand before Jesus Christ. And you're going to see how angry Jesus Christ was to come down here and to suffer and die on that cross for you. And you ignored everything he did for yourself. Wouldn't you be mad? You have some parents, they suffer, they sacrifice for their kids, and the kids turn out to be drug addicts. I mean, if you're a parent and get mad, what you think about God who gave man this earth and all the fullness thereof and gave man everything he ever wanted? And man turned away from it all for sin. So Jesus Christ wants to save you from this place called hell. And you know something, dear friend? Once you give your life over to Christ, these questions will not be in your heart anymore about hell. You see, God himself placed these questions there for you to realize that you're not living there. He placed fear in your heart about death to let you realize that you're not obeying his holy commandments. See, that's just a warning that God himself is doing to you because he loves you. But the Bible tells us in the book of 2 Timothy 1:7 that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. See, once you accept Jesus Christ, you will not have that fear of death. Because death is not your enemy. Death is a doorway into heaven. To be absent of the body is to be present with the Lord. Because you see, no matter what you do, you can go out there and dig a hole in the ground and live in it, but one day you shall die.
Amen.
You can have all the money, you can have the best doctors around you, but one day you shall die. And when you die in your sins, you don't have to ask anybody about the place called hell. There's no one in hell that's questioning hell today. There's no doubt. There's no doubt about hell for those who are in hell. That rich man in the book of Luke, he didn't question hell when he was in hell. He knew he was being tormented. He said so. He wanted Lazarus, he wanted Abraham to cool his tongue. See, everything that the Bible says about hell will be experienced for those who go there. We don't have to go there to see it. See, you don't see with your eyes, you see with your heart. You believe with your heart. People say seeing is believing. You can't say that if you walk around Times Square. You may see a man, you may see a person who looks like a woman, but it could be a man. We see it all the time. They dress up so nice, they got lipstick on, they switch, and you think that's a woman. And you got some guys who run up and start putting their hands around them. And they find out later on, that's a man. See, sin can be very deceiving. You believe with your heart. You see with your heart. That's why Jesus said that they're blind. They're blind. They have been blinded by the devil. See, Satan puts a veil over the minds of those who will not believe in God's word. But that veil is taken away through faith in Christ. See, God himself can reveal things to you that you would not otherwise know when you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior. Then you can see exactly where you're headed in life. Now, you may think you're all right. You may think that, well, I know that one day I'll go to heaven because I'm a good church member. Won't make it. Because you wear religious garments. Won't make it. Because you went to a Bible college. Won't make it. Because you have many degrees from a seminary. Won't make it. Those things may impress man, but God is looking at your heart. There shall be many ministers who's been ministering in a church for 20, 30, 40 years. They end up in hell. Because one thing with God, God himself does not have a double standard. From the riches of the rich to the poorest of the poor, there's only one way to come to God, and that's through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Because see, God sees us as either sinners or people who are saved. And we're all sinners until we get saved.
Amen.
So your background, your degree, your education will not change that fact. In the book of 1 Samuel 16:7, the Bible said that God does not see as man sees. For God, for man looks at on the outward appearance, but God judges your heart. And your heart is what you do with your life. Whatever you believe in your heart is how you're going to live on this earth with your life. People say, well, God knows my heart. But anybody knows your heart, because if you're cursing, that's what's in your heart. If you're lying, that's what's in your heart. If you're practicing homosexuality, that's what's in your heart. Your body only acts out the desires of your heart. The Bible said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So you can't get around this thing. People want to live one way and say, well, I know I'm right with God. God knows my heart. I'm just a loving person. But you're not. We're not. None of us are until we accept Christ. See, this is something we can't do on our own power. Religion is an attempt to try to get right with God without salvation. That's what it is. That's why we have so many different types of religions. Man, an effective way to get right with God. And people say, well, you got so many religions, there must be more than one God. But God is not accepting all these religions. He's only accepting salvation. But that's the only thing he's given to mankind. So do you want to accept Jesus Christ, be a part of God's plan? See, God's plan is twofold, heaven and hell. Saved or unsaved. You want to be saved or you want to continue to be unsaved? You want to go to heaven or you want to find out that this place called hell really exists? You can find out of it. See, when you go to prison, you may go to prison for 20 or 30 years and get out. But hell is not like prison.
No.
You know, you go to a hotel room, you can stay there for X amount of days, then you can check out. But hell is not like a hotel accommodation. Hell is forever. So if you doubt the word of God and disbelieve in what God said about hell, just die in your sins and see what happens on the other side of eternity. That's all you have to do. I read a tract once where this nurse was in a room with an atheist just before he died. And this nurse said that she hoped that she would never ever see another atheist died like this again. Before that man died, he was crying about fire and hell to the top of his voice. And that nurse said that the man started pulling his hair out because he was being tormented even before he left the earth. See, if you have served the devil all your life, the devil owns you. And Jesus said that the last shall be first and the first shall be last. If you make that confession before you die, you'll be just like a thief on a cross. You will be saved. But the devil himself want to torment you to a degree that he will not give you that chance to accept Jesus Christ before you die. See, while you're in your right state of mind, you can do it now. While you can walk around, while you can reason, you can do it now. Don't wait till you get all messed up with drugs, get hit or get shot, you can't even talk, can't even think straight. And it's too late. Because you may say, well, I believe God's going to let me in anyway because he knows I tried. Not good enough. So if you can go out there and believe in Islam, Buddhism, and Hinduism, you can believe in Christ.
Amen.
And there's one thing about God's word. The Bible tells us in the book of Psalms 105 that the word of God will endure throughout all generations. See, no matter what people may say about the word of God, time will always prove that lie. Time will expose that lie. But time will never ever change the word of God. Every time somebody go out and write a book against the Bible, or write a book that we're trying to say that Jesus Christ is coming back on a certain date, time would always expose that.
Amen.
But you don't have to wait to time to expose the lie. Just go to the Bible. The Bible disputes that lie. But most people say, well, people who do such, they may have a big church, a big name behind themselves, and they want to believe in the person and the word of God. But God said, let God's word be true, let every man be a liar. Now, Jesus Christ is God's plan to save your soul. Are you willing to walk up now to accept this plan in your heart? People may laugh at you. They may call you a Jesus freak. The member of your family may throw you out. People may, you may lose your job. See, when you first start out with Jesus Christ, the devil would try anything to try to discourage you from following Christ. I know when I accepted Christ back in the, when I rededicated my life back in the early 80s, I had a lot of problems. I mean, people that I used to hang out with, who were so-called my friends, they started turning on me. Because I didn't drink like I used to, because I didn't smoke like I used to, because I didn't hang out like I used to. And you start to think that, well, this thing is not working. I thought people were going to love me. You know? But Jesus said, think it not strange, this world hates you. Remember that it hated me before it hated you. See, people who are not in Christ, they are controlled by another spirit, Satan. And the thing that you like, they may hate. And the thing that you hate, they may love. It's just the opposite. That's why the world is in opposition with God. Everything that this world loves, God hates. And everything that this world hates, God loves. God loves righteousness. The world hates righteousness. You got politicians. They're shifting over to the other side now, who was once standing against abortion and homosexuality, because they know in order for them to get in, you have to go along with evil. That's bad. That's like taking the mark of the beast. See, it starts in your heart first. If you go along, if you go out there and go against righteousness for evil, it would be no problem when that day comes for you to take the mark of the beast. Because you've been doing it all your life. And now you want to take Jesus Christ? You want to have the seal of salvation on your heart? The Bible tells us in the book of Ephesians 1:13 that we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise on the day of redemption. And there's no one, and no spirit on earth or in heaven or in hell can break that seal. When God seals you for himself, you're in God's hand. And Jesus said no one is strong enough to take you out of God's hand. Now, do you want to be in God's hand today? Or do you want to be under the influence of Satan? You want to continue to keep drinking, smoking, cursing, lying, hating one another because of the color of someone's skin? Getting involved in false religion? Or do you want to come out from all of that and come into the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ? You can. Use your faith and just do what God tells us to do. In the book of Romans 10:9-10, if thou confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and if thou believe in thy heart that God has risen from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You want to be saved? Or you want to continue to be lost? See, the devil will make sure that he accommodates you in being lost. He will send people around you who tell you, oh man, don't worry about that. My great-great-grandfather got involved in that, and he still was poor. But we don't use salvation to get rich. We use salvation to get right with God. That's what it's for. To get our mind, will, body, soul right with God. Because, see, that's a different way of thinking when you're in Christ. You don't think like the world thinks. You don't act like the world acts. That's why when people get saved, they have to move out their friends, their so-called friends. And live a shielded life, a separate life, a life that's holy, a life that's blessed in Christ. You want to do that now? You want to make that move up front, kneel down, and mean business with God? People say, I don't see how can anyone just make those confessions be saved. Well, those confessions are there for one purpose, an act of your will and obedience to God's word. That's all. See, when God told Adam that you can eat from all the tree, but not from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, God himself said that because God wanted Adam to obey that by his own free will. And when God tells us to confess Jesus Christ in our hearts of the Lord and Savior, that's an act of your free will. God will not make that confession for you.
You have to do that. But he promised to save you if you mean it from your heart. So now, do you want to make that confession today? Get up. That's right, get up. Nobody want to get up and come forward? That's right. Don't worry about those people behind you, on the side of you, in front of you. You have to save yourself, dear friend. You probably went out there and allowed your friend to get you into a lot of trouble. One thing, he cannot go to hell for you. You got to go to hell for yourself, but you die in your sins. And when you say that prayer, mean it in your heart. Open up your heart. Just speak what's in your heart. That's one thing, you cannot lie to God. You see, some people, they like to use these prayers. It sounds so good. But Jesus called it lip service. By your mouth you profess that you know me, but your heart is way away from me. So just open up your heart and obey God's word in the book of Romans 10, 9, and 10. And God will save you if you mean business with him. Like I said before, you cannot fool God. Because every thought that you ever think, now or in the future, God knows. So God promised to save those. And we do pray in the name of Jesus that those who came forth will truly mean it in their heart to receive Christ, that God will place his Holy Spirit in their heart to save their souls. And from this day forth, I pray that there will be a light that's shining out there in darkness, that people can see that they are new creatures in Christ. Our hymn is going to be from the book 197.
All standing.
I don't know what it is.
All standing. The altar is open.
All right.
Page 197 in the red book. Altar is open. Those wishing to come forward may do so. We pray together. Gave us a wonderful message tonight. There was a lot of food into that message tonight. The instructions were made crystal clear. So we have that opportunity tonight to act on it. We don't know if we'll have the opportunity tomorrow night. Tomorrow is not promised, but we have it tonight. So as we sing this last verse, let's consider and concentrate on what was said here tonight. All right, the last verse.
God, my word, we come as the Father's Son to receive us from the took our place when we died on Calvary. For a man of sin, to him we gave the power to become the Son of God.
we're going to have the closing prayer by Brother John.
Lord, we thank you for your servant and your message tonight. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, for this great house of worship that has been installed for the salvation of the souls of men. We thank you, Lord, for Brother Solomon delivering the message that God has but only two ways for us. We either go to heaven or hell. We thank you, Lord, that you have made heaven for us. And may this assembly tonight glean from the words that were spoken that you loved us enough to give us a home in heaven. May we accept that gift, Lord. May our hearts not be inclined to procrastination to wait another day. So many today are gone who were alive yesterday. And we thank you for sparing us a yet another day that we can have a chance to dedicate to you our holy lives. We pray that you have made us a holy people through the blood of Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, not to be spread into false religions which so abound on the earth today. In your word you have said that many false Christs, many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. And we see it today. We know your word is true. As our dear brother said, the time declares all unrighteousness. And we thank you that time has declared your truthfulness. We thank you today. Bless this mission abundantly. That those who have not given their lives, may you give them another chance. We pray. Take care of us as we go. And may the message abound. That those that were rich and well off, that in the day of their death, they had nothing. And we thank you for you have given us all abundance in the grace of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord. Bless us now as we go. In Jesus' holy name.
Amen.
I can't let you.
Yeah?
Yeah.